Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. During the centennial year of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, which assured that women in the United States have a right to vote, SDPB has embarked on a project to tell the history of suffrage in South Dakota. Today, we continue our look at that history with a profile of Marietta M. Bones of Webster. Bones gained national prominence in the movement only to switch sides after infighting within the movement left her disillusioned with the cause and actively working against it. Here to tell us more about the story is Nancy Tysted Koppel. She is director of the South Dakota Historical Society Press in Pierre. Nancy, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's go back a little bit in the story of Marietta Bones, because I think people might be surprised when she was active in South Dakota, but I want to hear how she got here in the first place. What do we know about her early years?
Well, not as much as I wish we did, is the short answer. She grew up in an abolitionist family in the East, and came married out there, and then came divorced and came out here with her second husband, who was a political appointee in the Republican Party in Day County.
How common was it for a woman to be divorced in this time frame?
Not that common. You kind of put your finger on it, but by that time it was becoming more common because the laws were changing. People were looking. Women were, lobbying for more lenient divorce laws so that women could bring suit to get out of particularly abusive relationships and that sort of thing. So,
So does her divorce and sort of that process of figuring out what happened in her life next, because I understand, she didn't get a lot of money or support. She got zero, she says.
Yep.
Did that help? Tell us a little bit about how she kind of got interested in this idea of giving women a voice and a vote.
Well, I think a lot of that goes back to the fact that her family was involved in the abolitionist movement. That's the route that a lot of the early women took to come to suffrage, was fighting for freedom for the African-American slaves. So I think that's where it started. And she obviously came from a family of that believed in public service and service to your fellow man. She was always working on one cause or another, and she was very personal with it. I was just reading a little bit before this. For example, she would champion people that were ill. She would take them to Chicago if they couldn't get the care they needed in South Dakota, for example. So she was just very passionate about helping others, and she felt that the vote for women was the way to make a lot of social change. And she was like that. That was not unusual for women of the period. They were looking for social change through votes for women. I hope I answered your question there.
Yeah. How does she become close to people like Susan B. Anthony, Matilda Gage? What are some of her connections with them? And tell us a little bit about her relationship with Susan B. Anthony at first.
She became connected with these people in particular when she came out here to Dakota Territory in the early 1880s, and she was a part of the the National American Woman Suffrage Association, and she was designated a vice president. She got to know, I think the women became very connected through those movements. They got to know one another. She went to national meetings. She met Susan B. Anthony, I think for the first time, down in Nebraska, at a meeting, a suffrage meeting in the early 80s, down there, 1881. And they just, because there were so few of them working out here, the national suffrages got to know these women because they corresponded. It's now a very lost art, but they wrote copious letters back and forth.
Hmm. Why is it important on the path to statehood? What was the hope at that point that becoming a state in 1889 would be paired with suffrage?
Well, the women had been, promoting votes for women for many years, and the in 1883. Marietta Bones had actually lobbied the state constitutional convention to put a woman suffrage plank in the state constitution. And they didn't do that. They didn't do it in 83, but in 85, they rethought what they were doing and put a plank in that said the people could vote on this issue. There was the idea that you shouldn't just do something without people being able to vote on it. So the problem, of course, was that only males were voters. So it was kind of self-serving in many ways.
What do we know about the changing of her mind or her evolution? Because she comes out vocally and with strong leadership on one side of an issue and ends up to be a pretty fierce opponent of it. Take us through her transition.
Well, I think that often we tend to think that the suffrage movement, I think that view's changing, but I think for many, many years we always thought that all the women were on the same page. They all wanted suffrage. They all worked together with that idea in mind. But in fact, they were individuals just like all the rest of us, and they had differing points of view about how to achieve suffrage. And it, as you know, it was a long and very painful fight. And so the women had plenty of opportunity to disagree about how to go about it. And for Bones, she was a very opinionated woman, I think would be safe to say. She knew and thought she knew how it should be done. She had lied, she thought, with Susan B. Anthony to get this done. She was a part of the National Temperance Organization, the WCTU, and she had allied with Frances Willard. And then in 1890, the politics of both the WCTU and the National Woman Suffrage Association, they changed. They decided it was time to try different approaches. And Marietta Bones simply and profoundly disagreed with the change in approach. And it became really personal between her and Susan B. Anthony, because Anthony, who was in charge of the national movement at that time, pretty much said, get lost. We don't need you. Your work is over. And the WCTU, in many ways, Bones went and became a part of the shadow organization which was called the nonpartisan WCTU, And that went in, that was in opposition to what the people in Webster were wanted and were doing. And so they drummed her out of the local organization. And so suddenly she was without a home. And at that point in time, too, there was a lot of speculation that Anthony was embezzling money and doing different things that were not helping the cause. And so what Marietta Bones says is this just isn't working. This is, neither one of these organizations are making suffrage happen. And until we get better management, I am not going to be a part of these movements. And she held to that for the rest of her life.
She was decisive to her word when she decided to be. So fascinating. I look forward to so many more of these conversations throughout the summer. Nancy Tysted-Koppel is director of South Dakota Historical Society Press and Peer. We've been talking about Marietta Bones. Nancy, thank you so much for being here.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.